Have you heard? There's a new kid on the block. All the major newspapers had it in its headlines. The headlines actually said that the couple was so poor they didn't even have time to set up a baby registry. They laid their son in a feeding trough filled with hay. They didn't get one of those birth to college cribs. When my babies were born, I had a lot of really cute clothes for them. But Mary didn't even get one of those cute onesies that says, "I love my daddy." She wrapped him in a swaddling cloth. Can you even imagine that? And did you know in Hollywood they have what they call the Walk of Fame? Some celebrities wait all of their lives just to get a star on that walk. And this newborn baby got a star in the sky immediately, as if it was placed there by God Himself. Have you ever had a star? Have you ever had a star put in the sky because of who you were? But I tell you the one thing that really has me stumped nowadays with these young couples, and even with my own grandchildren, we have the same problem. The way couples, the names that they give their children nowadays. Can you believe it? I'm glad you're sitting down, because are you ready for this? This couple named their child Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, Emmanuel. It does sound very angelic, but how is he going to get that name on his kindergarten paper? Maybe he should just write the name Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so excited still about the Christmas season. We just have loved the weeks of Advent worship. We've loved the time that we've been able to spend with our family and friends. And let's not forget the presents. But Lord, the gift that we really need to remember today is the gift that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Father, I ask right now that we humble our hearts and we thank you. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all the hearts of everyone sitting here in this sanctuary right now be one with you. And it's in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen. I had an aha moment as I was preparing this message that I'd like to share with you. Even though I can get a little dramatic and I can get animated, I do that at my church, and I do it on Wednesday night, and I do it with my grandchildren. I'm really a very concrete thinker. I'm one of these people that when I look at a piece of art, I want to know what it is. I don't want to have to try to figure out what the artist was saying or what they had in their mind that day. If it's a tree, I want it to look like a tree. And if it's a house, I want it to look like a house. I'm very concrete in my thinking. And so as I was reading the scripture, which over the years I've read many times, I noticed that the scripture is under a subheading, a subtitle in my Bible, and it says, Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to the temple. So as I was reading this whole section, I honestly thought that it all happened at the same time, that it was the same day, because it was in the same section of the scripture. And what I realized, that in one verse, from 21 to 22, we go from Jesus being 8 days old to him being 40 days old. And I never realized that before. And that's where my sermon title came from ordinary to extraordinary. But I want to put a subtitle to my sermon today, How the Holy Spirit Works with the Law, because that's what this section is all about, how the Holy Spirit works with the law. We know that Luke is the only gospel writer that has even given us a small glimpse into Jesus' boyhood life. He goes from his birth to 8 days to 40 days, and then we jump to 12 years old when he's teaching in the temple, and then we fast forward to 30 years old when he started his ministry. And what I realized as I was preparing this message and reading the scripture, what I realized, it's not important for us to know about every time Jesus fell and got a bruise or bumped his knee or Mary kissed his boo-boo. That's not important. But what is important is for us to realize what Jesus has done for us for the past 2,000 plus years. Amen. Well, verse 21 says, Jesus was circumcised at 8 days old. That was very ordinary. All Jewish boys were circumcised on the eighth day, and that's when they received their name. But did he really have to go through this ritual? Did he have to go through the hurt of circumcision? I mean, come on, after all, he's God. Did he really have to do that? Well, yes, he did. This baby boy was the Savior of the world. And that's what makes verse 21 extraordinary. The circumcision was ordinary, but the person that was being circumcised was extraordinary. He was born under the law. He's a descendant of Abraham. And all the boys, as I said, were circumcised and named that day. Jesus had to fulfill the covenant. Jesus' life is linked with all of the rich inheritance of Israel. In Matthew, Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish it, but to fulfill it. He had to go through circumcision. Because down the road, when the Jew, if he had not gone through the circumcision, the Jews could have said, well, you're not Jewish. You're not the Messiah. You're not who we're looking for. And circumcision was the what made the difference between if you were Jewish and if you were a Gentile. So, yes, he had to go through the procedure. Have you ever thought what Jesus really looked like when he was 8 days old as a baby? Don't we love babies? You know, they're so precious. And most of the time they smell good. Sometimes they don't. And God, I'm looking at this baby over here, and God made our arms, the crook of our arms, that we can just lay that baby in our arm and we can rock them and we can love on them. Mary did that with Jesus. This year on November 13th, my husband John and I welcomed our 10th grandchild. And during this holiday time, we actually have been with all 10 grandchildren, and thank goodness we staggered the visits. But we have had just a wonderful time this season with our grandchildren. And haven't we, over the years, haven't we thought that our children are the prettiest, they're the brightest, they're the most talented children in the world? We find out they really can't sing. We're just ordinary parents. We're just ordinary folk. Not one of us here can lay claim to being a parent of God. That was extraordinary. The Holy Spirit was alive and working well in Joseph and Mary's life. But no one knew the gospel story yet, not even his earthly parents. They knew that Jesus was special. They knew he was extraordinary. After all, angels were talking to both of them. They knew what was coming, what was going to happen. And then Mary is impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Here was an ordinary 13 or 14-year-old girl chosen to be the mother of God's Son. Now that's extraordinary. Jesus and Mary were law-abiding Jews. They weren't some radical Bible-thumping, gospel-preaching couple. They were sensitive and faithful to the Mosaic law. And after 40 days of Jesus' birth, Mary needed to present herself to the temple for purification. At this time, she was to give two pigeons for an offering, one for a burnt offering and one for a sin offering. This humble offering tells us that Mary and Joseph were probably considered either to be poor or they were on the lower middle class spectrum. But they did that. And when Mary had finished her purification process, she and Joseph presented their son to God. Because Exodus says that, consecrate to me every firstborn male, the first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belong to me, whether man or animal. The process was ordinary. The extraordinary aspect of this is that they brought Jesus with them. That was not expected, nor was it necessary. All Mary had to do was present her offering. And I want to, in a few minutes in my sermon, I want to explain to you why that was so extraordinary. Remember the story of Hannah? More than anything in her life, Hannah wanted a child. That's ordinary. She prayed fervently and promised God that if he would give her a child, that she would give that child back to him. That was extraordinary. God heard and answered her prayer. And when Samuel was weaned, she gave him back to the Lord. She kept her promise. It says, so now I give him to the Lord, for his whole life will be given over to the Lord. Look what God did through Samuel. He was the last judge. He was a prophet. He was a priest. He anointed David to be king, who would one day be the grandfather of Jesus, many generations removed. I have a pastor friend that every time he and his wife were coming home from the hospital with one of their three daughters, he would stop at his church and they would go in and they would take that newborn daughter and they would lay her on the altar. And he would dedicate his children to God. And he promised that they would raise all of their daughters to only love the Lord. They did that. How many of us can say that? I can't. I didn't even know at the time that my children were on loan to me from God. Was Mary and Joseph aware that when they dedicated their son on this particular day, what it would mean for the world? Probably not. If you're familiar with the song by Mark Lowry, Mary, Did You Know? It asks her, says, Mary, did you know that when you kiss your little baby, that you are kissing the face of God? Oh, Mary, did you know? What a question to ask a 13 or 14-year-old girl. Do you know who this baby is and what this baby is going to do? Originally in the book of Exodus, God decreed the firstborn son, such as Samuel, would belong to the tribe that would be the priestly tribe. And later, God called the priestly tribe to come from Levi. And when you weren't from the tribe of Levi, parents were allowed to make restitution. They could buy the redemption of their sons for 5 shekels. Because if they didn't belong to the tribe of Levi, then their sons couldn't be redeemed. In today's currency, 5 shekels is about $1.31. Mary and Joseph redeemed their son for $1.31. Because he didn't belong to the tribe of Levi. He belonged to the tribe of Judah. But one day, this same baby boy was going to be our Redeemer. He would redeem us back, not for 5 shekels, but through his blood. Amen. Perhaps by chance, but probably not, it tells us that Joseph and Mary traveled the 6 or 7 miles to get to the temple in Jerusalem to present Jesus. They could have gone to any temple. They could have gone to any rabbi for this presentation. But they walked the 6 or 7 miles to get to the temple in Jerusalem. Because the only time that they were required to go to that temple was during Passover. And here comes the part that was extraordinary during Mary's purification process. The Holy Spirit was at work again in an elderly man named Simeon. And Simeon means hearing. He was attuned to the Holy Spirit. He listened. And the scripture tells us that Simeon was righteous. He had high standards. He was upright. He was just. And he was fair. It says that he was devout, which means he was God-fearing. He was pious, and he was reverent. And the Holy Spirit rested upon him. As Christians, we don't say that. As Christians, we say the Holy Spirit dwells within us. That once we, it's a permanent thing. Once we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior and make him the master of our lives, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. It doesn't just fly away. But Simeon, it was for a specific task. It was resting upon him. And he was so in tune, and for a long time, what he had been praying for, today was the day that his prayer was answered. The day promised to him. So what does man, what is it that you want to do before you die? What do you want to finish before you die? Is it getting wealthy? Is it to be famous? Is it to know that you have security? That's not what Simeon wanted. The Holy Spirit had made Simeon a promise that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. And why would it be so important for Simeon? Simeon was one of God's remnants. And he wanted to know, Simeon wanted to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Israel would finally be comforted and healed. And this could only happen through the promised Messiah. When Mary and Joseph appeared at the temple gate, because of the nudging of the Holy Spirit, Simeon received Jesus into his arms and he gave him a blessing. What joy must have filled his soul and his heart to have answered prayer. What do we do when we have answered prayer? Maybe we do a little dance in the house, you know? If it's something that we have been praying for, somebody was sick or that type of thing, maybe we cry because there's a healing. Most of all, I hope and pray that you give thanks to God. And when was the last time our prayer was answered? Did we write a song to God like Simeon did called the New Demetis? And here's what the prophet said, and I'm going to paraphrase it. Lord of lords, you have kept your word to me, so now I may die in peace. I have personally seen salvation in this baby called Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua, meaning salvation. This baby boy will be the light of the world for all people, Jews and Gentiles alike. Praise God, because none of us would be sitting here today if it wasn't for us. Simeon was saying, to see Jesus is to see God's salvation. It was predicted 600 years ago in Isaiah before Simeon had this prophecy that the Gentiles would be, that there would be a light for the Gentiles. And again, I say, praise God. Could such an ordinary baby do extraordinary feats. His parents seemed to be amazed when Simeon was telling them what was going to happen. And when he had finished his prophecy, he gave Joseph and Mary his blessing. And then he took Mary to the side. Maybe he put his arm around her and he said, "Mary, there's going to be division in Israel. Some people are going to believe in your son, but many will not. Him coming to earth is a sign of our sinfulness and our ungodliness. And it's not going to be a smooth road to eternity because he's going to be rejected. And Mary, this is going to be very painful for you personally." And it turns out that it's very painful for us as we see people not accepting God, accepting Christ. Dr. Ralph Wilson says that Jesus is God's litmus test. It measures where our heart is today, and it will continue to measure where our heart is on the final judgment day. And then Luke mentions a prophetess, and her name was Anna, and she was esteemed in God's eyes as women were in the Old Testament, Miriam, Deborah, and Huda. And I feel like when Luke mentions both Simeon and Anna in this scripture, it is telling us that we are to understand that male and female, Jews and Gentiles, are blessed by the birth of Jesus Christ, not just the Jews, but the Gentiles. Anna also was a faithful remnant, and she was awaiting the advent of the Messiah. She was well over 100 years old. She was 13 or 14 when she got married. She was married for 7 years, and she has been a widow for 84 years. And since she became a widow, she has been in the temple every day, praying and fasting that this event would happen. And when she came across Simeon, she was the affirmation. She had heard the promised Redeemer had been born. Together, they saw the hope in what God had just accomplished by sending his son to earth, the long-awaited Messiah. What started out as an ordinary day for both Simeon and Anna turned into an extraordinary day with the presentation of this baby boy, the promised Messiah, the Savior of the world. The Holy Spirit has taken two Mosaic law-abiding Jews and claimed them for his kingdom. If they had lived long enough, I know that they would have been true gospel-preaching Christians. Having obeyed the Mosaic law, Jesus' parents returned to Nazareth because it was not safe for them to go to Israel. Plus, the prophets had prophesied that the Messiah would come as a Nazarene. He grew in strength and wisdom, receiving favor from God. And there he awaits to be the fulfillment of what his mother, Mary, had said, what the prophets had said, the shepherds and the angels, and what Simeon and Anna had prophesied and proclaimed. God will fulfill his word and perform his plan through this extraordinary baby boy, our salvation. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, from this day forth, may we not just be ordinary. May we be extraordinary as we take your message into the world. And thank you for the babe born in Bethlehem. In his name we pray. Amen.